To download more lectures, learn more about our project, and to help support it, visit www.bayinah.com/dream. That's BAYYINAH/dream. You are free to share these recordings with family and friends. Thank you and Jazakumullah khairan for helping us make our dream a reality.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, thumma amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنه على رجعه لقادر رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله آمين يا رب العالمين. Okay, so the previous couple of ayat we spoke about the things that Allah Azza wa Jal calls our attentions to, first of all in the sky and then within our own selves, illustrating our weakness, our incapacity not only to not be able to fathom them completely but not to explore them as we may wish. Okay? Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says this profound statement, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. A raw translation would yield, no doubt he is in complete control over returning it. رَجْعِهِ, of its return. So, what is this return that Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks of? Most of the mufassirun comment that this return is, of course, returning the human being after he is dead back to life. But there's something really beautiful and profound in the use of this word here, because Allah speaks of the human being, the fluid going into the woman in the form of a, you know, basically just a fluid, and then what comes out of her womb is a human being. So what is entered is something dead, and what is returned is something fully formed. Something minuscule goes in and something profound comes out. Allah returns it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same way Allah says, if Allah can produce this return, after this fluid has gone in and turned out into a human being, Allah is capable then also of returning the human being from whatever form. If He can create the human being out of water and return him out of the womb, then the earth, the womb of the earth, will yield him back no matter what he turns into. So the earth is going to be talked about as a womb as the ayat continue. The word innahu here illustrates, is ala tashak. What that implies is that there are people who are not willing to give this thought consideration. They'll go as far as to say, yes, the birth is miraculous. They'll go that far. But they were not willing to take that next step. Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving them that next step. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. In the eloquence of the surah, we don't find إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. And usually, you know, so it says certainly he is capable of returning it. But the word he, a pronoun, is used typically when the noun is already mentioned. Like if you're telling someone a story and you say, once upon a time there was a man, the next sentence doesn't say the man went out to town, it says he went out to town, right? So the word he would be an illustration of a noun that was already mentioned. Interestingly, the word Allah hasn't occurred in the surah. Again, keeping his name secret, because that's part of the theme, enshrouding his name in secrecy in this surah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's part of the theme of the surah and also illustrates Allah Azza wa Jalla's displeasure of the ones who have forgotten him. May Allah not make us from them. Now Allah says He is in complete control over returning it and complements what He started saying in the previous surah. In the previous surah, He said, إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ. Exactly the same subject. No doubt it is He who initiates and brings back. Just like He initiates the creation of that fluid and brings it back a human being, and initiated the human being's existence on this earth and will bring it back in the next life after we are gone. Similarly, He says, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. Now that this has been illustrated, Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the next conclusion. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. The day on which secrets will be thoroughly tested and left out. You know, something that is pulled out and exposed to everybody. This is for what the word bala is used for, not just for testing, but for completely exposing. So Allah says when secrets, sara'ir, and by the way, the word sara'ir comes from the singular sarira. Now there are two words in the root. There's sir, and the plural of sir, which means secret, is asrar. Right? But then there's the word sarira, and the plural of that is sara'ir. And sarira is a very well-guarded secret. Sir is a secret, but a sarira is like it's got mubalagha in it. It's a really well-guarded secret that nobody could find out about. It was protected by the ones who didn't want it exposed. Allah says they will be thrown out in the open, like, you know, open access information, open source, basically, no matter how much you try to guard. So Allah says, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. This is important because if you notice, the theme of the surah was secrecy. And if you notice, the previous surah spoke about those who oppress the believers. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. Whatever they did with the believers, they themselves were witness to it. And the ulama speak in the previous surah, the Mufassirun speak about genocide and crimes against innocent people that were buried alive or mass graves and all these kinds of heinous crimes that have existed throughout history, even in recent history. But when a nation commits those kinds of crimes, they bury the evidence. And they don't let anybody excavate the site and all that kind of stuff. And they use their military and their police and all, you know, and they'll prevent the journalists from going in there to see what's really going on and all this stuff. Why? Because they want to keep it a secret. If it comes out, then they'll be exposed. Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ, the day on which even the most well-guarded of the secrets will be exposed. It began with night. That is of secrecy. Allah Azza wa Jal let us know there's hafil here. And what I failed to mention before was, the stars that are at such a distance are witness. And if they are witness, what's so hard to believe that there's someone right here too? If they are fully witness at such a distance, the star Allah has made a witness to what goes on this earth, then Allah has assigned, what's the big deal for Allah Azza wa Jal to create a witness for each and every one of us, the hafidh that has been assigned over us. The next ayah, subhanAllah, Allah says, فَمَا لَهُ مِن قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. First of all, this is a contrast with the previous surah. In the previous surah, we found nations that had a lot of power. Power to hurt the believers. In the very beginning, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودَ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ. Later on, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَثَمُودِ. Previous surah. Didn't the news of the armies come to you? The armies of Fir'aun and Thamud? Allah mentioning armies, illustrating power. But here he says, a day is coming when these secrets are exposed. Of course, these secrets are usually very well guarded. So when they are exposed, what does that illustrate? The armies, whatever they were, whatever mechanisms there were, have all failed. They've been overcome, they've been overpowered. Allah says, فَمَا لَهُ مِن قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. Then on that day he will have no power to his avail, nothing for him that is of any power whatsoever, nor any helper. Now what's power and helper? What are these two things important? When you try to hide something, you do whatever is in your power to hide it. And if there's something not in your power, what do? You ask for somebody's help to help you hide it. Think of even something as simple as a person who's sick, who's trying to hide part of his leg. He's lying in the hospital bed and his leg is exposed. And he wants to cover it. He's too weak to even cover his leg. So he doesn't have the power. What does he do next? He asks somebody's help. Could you cover it right here? Could you cover this for me? He doesn't have help for himself. Allah says, no quwwah. They will have no power whatsoever for themselves, nor any helper to help them cover these kinds of their tracks. And this again, perfectly completing what we learned before. The people who killed the believers, they themselves were witness, but they kept it a secret for themselves. Only Allah knew. Only Allah knew what the crimes they had committed against the believers. But now, when those secrets are exposed, they will have no power nor any helper. This again goes further. It's elaborating what Allah says before, يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا, on the day on which no person will have no authority, no power in the case of any other. So first of all, a person doesn't have power for themselves, forget the idea of even trying to help anyone else, subhanAllah. By the way, when Allah says yawma, for example, yawma tubla sarair, fama lahu min quwwatin wala fa, yawma and fa, the day on which and then there won't be any helpers, what that implies is there are people that keep secrets now. Then they won't. But now they have some power apparently, and they have helpers at their disposal. So they are in a position of some power. One of the things you need to, inshallah ta'ala, bear in mind in complementing the previous surah with this one, is in the previous surah we find the disbelievers oppressing Muslims. And in this surah we find what happens before the oppression, the secret plans of the disbelievers that they don't expose. We'll find later on, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. We'll find that in this surah too. They're making those plots, those plans to execute their attacks on the believers. But before we get to that, the next half of the surah begins. Allah Azza wa Jal says, begins with another oath, which is very similar to the beginning oath of the previous surah. He says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. I swear by the sky and by that all which is above, that possesses the feature of returning, ذات الرَّجْعِ, which is known for returning. That is used when something is replete with a feature. So the sky is being described as one that has the feature of returning something. So what does the sky return? We learn in tafsir that the sky returns with the rain over and over and over again. That's one implication of وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. It's complemented even more beautifully because when the rain comes, it penetrates the earth or it flows and it becomes parts of rivers and oceans, and then some of it dries up and it goes back up and it returns again and it goes back up and it returns again. It's the same water that is cycling. So Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ, subhanAllah. Another thing here that's been mentioned by more recent commentaries, like Sheikh Zanadani, who does a lot of science and Quran kind of research, he says, look, the ozone layer we know now, radiation comes from outer space and it gets sent back from the first layer of the sky here. And telecommunications, you have, you know, the first layer, the waves bounce back, and that's how satellite and cell phone communication takes place. So there's that al-raja. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But we know classically what this is referring to is the water cycling. The water cycling. So the sky is known was-sama'i dhat al-raja. Wal-ardi dhat al-sada. And the earth possessing the feature of tearing open, cleaving, ripping open. Allah describes the earth as ripping open. What this is describing basically is water coming from the sky, absorbing into the earth, the water comes into contact with the seed gets empowered and starts growing, but if the earth refuses to rip open, there's not going to be any life. So every time a plant comes into being, every tree is basically a rip in the earth. It's a tearing of the earth. So wal ardi that is sadr. This is basically Allah Azza wa Jal's depiction of another kind of impregnation. The previous passage was the mother gets impregnated with that fluid. Now Allah sends a fluid from the sky and impregnates the earth, and the earth continuously delivers life on this earth. So Allah parallels our creation with the creation of plant life all around us because it's from the same creator, so He shows the parallel in the mechanism, subhanAllah. So wal-ardi that is sadr. Then after these oaths, remember whenever there's an oath, there's jawab al-qasam. There's a response to the oath. I swear by the sky that it has the feature of returning, the earth that has the feature of cleaving and tearing open. What is the point of this oath? What is this oath leading to? Innahu laqawlun fasl. There is no doubt that this is, or that there's no doubt that it is truly a decisive word. Fasl aw fasl, bayna al-haq wal batil. Right? It's a decisive word that decides between truth and falsehood. Fasl, literally, fasl means to separate two things so far apart that you can tell them from another. You know how two things are mixed together, you can't tell one from the other? Like, you know, branches of trees, when they're, you know, intertwined, then you can't tell which belongs to which. But when you separate them, you call this fasl. They're distinguishable now. Allah says this word is a decisive distinguisher. It makes distinction. Now, what are the previous two oaths have to do with this? You know, the rain comes from the sky, just like the revelation. This word comes from the sky. And the rain enters into the earth and gives it life, just like this revelation enters into the hearts of the people and gives their hearts life. It gives them life. In a hadith we find, I'll paraphrase only inshallah, but I'll tell you where it's from so you can read the full text and the sharh on your own. This is from Kitab al-Fada'il in Sahih Muslim. Bab bayan mithluma bu'ithu. This is the example of what I have been given. The messenger says, the example of what I have been given in knowledge and guidance. And he gives examples, the likeness, the parallels with revelation. And one of them, I'll paraphrase for you, inshallah. Again, read it up in Sahih Muslim, also occurs in Bukhari. Is that Allah, he says, it's like rain coming from the sky, and there are three kinds of reactions. There's the earth that absorbs it, and then plant life comes out of it, and it benefits the people continuously. It continues to produce and produce and produce. So not only is the earth itself beautiful, but it's giving benefit to others. Then he says another kind of patch of land, which doesn't absorb the water, but at least retains it, meaning forms like a puddle or a lake or something. And at least other animals and people can, you know, cultivate from it, they can drink from it, they can use it as a supply. It doesn't benefit itself, but at least it benefits others. That's another kind of land. Then he describes a third kind of land that has no use whatsoever. It doesn't retain the water, it doesn't give the water. If the water even goes in, only shrubs and, you know, harmful plants with thorns that even animals are scared of. Even only these things come out. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about people. So when Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ, yes, it's referring to the rain and referring to the plant life, but it's also referring to the revelation that comes down and the reactions of the people. What comes out of the earth? What comes out of the people? And this book decides, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. It distinguishes between people. Who are the people that learn this book? They internalize its teachings, they live according to them, and then they teach it to others also. Like that earth that itself beautified itself and was also to give fruit to others. Who are of those who learn from this book, but they don't apply it for themselves, but they still serve as a vessel for others to learn. At least some good came out of them, even though not for themselves. At least still some good came out of them. And who are of those, whether you give them this book or you don't give them this book, doesn't make any difference. Nothing changes in their life at all, right? The Quran distinguishes between these people. Now the thing of it is, Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't just say innahu laqawlun fasl. He says wama huwa bil hazl. It is not at all. And ma huwa would be, ma would be in Arabic is very strong negation. If you say laysa hazlan, right? Laysa al hazla. Enough. It's not hazl. Ma huwa bil hazl. Ma, it is not at all in any way, shape, or form hazl. So what is this hazl that Allah Azza wa Jalla refers to? Hazl literally in Arabic refers to being skinny or weak, being incapable of doing anything productive. That's a person is called mahzul if they're very skinny and weak and they're not able to do any work. Qawlun hazl, speech that is weak, speech that doesn't have any benefit, that may entertain people, may keep people, you know, laughing, or may keep people addicted to watch more, but produces no benefit whatsoever. How many conversations are we a part of where people crack jokes, say funny things, right? They'll throw in a line from here, take something from here, take something from here, put it together, make somebody laugh, poke fun at something. We all have a good old time, and then we go about our way, and part of our life has been wasted. Useless speech. Allah says Quran is not at all useless speech. In other words, it's not at all speech that should not lead to clear, decisive action. Fasl also means that which leads you to decisive action. In other words, you and I that are speaking and listening to Quran right now, this speech is not, oh, interesting talk, interesting information, and we go back and nothing changes. This is not entertainment. Allah lets us know in Quran itself it's not entertainment. We've turned into a culture, many of us unfortunately, may Allah protect us from being this way, where we've turned Quran into entertainment. We've turned the khutbah into entertainment. We've returned listening to recitation of Quran into entertainment. It's become entertaining. It's become something fun to do. And if you enjoy it, you're not guilty for enjoying it, but it's something more serious than that. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. It is not at all vain talk. It's not vanity speech. It's not something you could say, oh yeah, and then you move on with your life, and when's the next one? When's the next big convention? When's the next great speech? It's not just about listening, it's about action. So Allah Azza wa Jal makes this clear to those who are listening. Now this is also a threat to those who disbelieve. Those who disbelieve are being told, this is decisive word, in other words, the news that this is bringing, that your secrets will be exposed, that you will have no helpers, no power for yourself and no helpers. This word has already been decided. There's no negotiation room left. Either you accept or you reject and that's it, and your fate is decided. So for us, it's decisive, and even for the disbeliever, it is decisive. This word is, subhanAllah, it complements what we learned in the previous surah. In the previous surah, Allah passed a verdict on those who are immersed in kufr. He said, بَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ. Those who disbelieve, they are immersed in, they're completely committed to lying against you. That's what he basically said. That's it, they've sealed their fate. They're not budging from that position. And one of the ways in which they lie against this message is they call it entertaining talk. Interesting discourse. Interesting discourse. This is what you find. You know, when I was in my college, in my university, I took an Islamic studies course. Right? That's what they call it. So they make you study passages from the Quran. And, you know, they read it and they say, this is very interesting. This is really interesting over here. And we compare it to the biblical narrative here and blah, blah, blah. It's all interesting, casual discourse. And after they're done reading that, they'll read something from the Odyssey. Then they'll read something from, you know, some Greek philosophy. They'll read something from mythology. Then they'll read something from Hindu texts or whatever. This is interesting to them. Hasn't. That's what it is. It's casual. It's you know, intellectual exercise. It's all it is. Is not something that actually leads them to make decisions in life. That's not how they look at it, subhanAllah. And unfortunately, this attitude slowly enters the mind of the Muslim who attends university in this country. Right? What happens is, take everything with a grain of salt. Everything, it's all good, that kind of attitude, it's all good. So you know, you go to these meetings and you say, you're Muslim, oh yeah, Tawheed, it's pretty cool. It's all good, you know. And they don't believe it. And it's very hard to give people da'wah that are disconnected from everything. Right? And there's this attitude of disconnect. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, no, this is not something casual. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla concludes the surah with two distinctions. The first is a reality of the kuffar. Allah begins with the word إِنَّهُمْ. There is no doubt that they, إِنَّهُمْ, there is no doubt that they. Now whatever they're about to do, in other words, there is some doubt. Don't be confused. Don't think that they're not doing this activity, they're engaged in it. Now the Messenger ﷺ may or may not know about the plots they make in secret. Like for instance, the plot to assassinate the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, when all the tribes, Shaitan gave them a good suggestion, get one of each tribe and then come after him so that no one tribe takes the hit for the crime, right? The Messenger والسلام, may or may not have news of it until Allah gives him. But Allah lets him know, whether I inform you or not, for sure plotting is taking place. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. They are all engaged in making a plot. Now the word kaid is different from the word makr. In the Quran we find, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا. Also we find, right? So they make a plot, and Allah made a plot, and Allah is the best of those who designs a plot. Here, kaid. What's the difference between makr and kaid? Makr essentially includes in it two things. Misleading the opponent into thinking they're headed for victory where they're actually headed for loss. That's part of makr. It's a kind of deceit. And it is only used for Allah in response to makr that the kuffar do. So what you would think of as generally inappropriate words for Allah Azza wa Jal, you know the idea of tit for tat, eye for an eye, that occurs in the Quran. Like, you know, we don't associate poking fun at someone. Allah Azza wa Jal's name, the glorified name associated with Allah poking fun. But when Allah says, when they poke fun at the believers, you know what Allah says? Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah pokes fun at them. Allah responds. Allah comes to avenge the believers. Azizun dhuntiqam. He's got the authority and he possesses the ability to take revenge. So when they make a plot, then in response Allah says, makar Allah. When they first, wa makaru, then wa makar Allah. First, innahum yakiduna kaida, and then in response, wa akidu kaida. It's response from Allah Azza wa Jal. So now the word yakiduna, to make a secret plot. Kaid has in it, while makr is, both mean plot, but makr has in it the meanings of deceit or misleading the enemy. Kaid has in it the element of secrecy, which is beautifully fitted here because everything we've talked about has been about secrecy. From the very beginning of night to tubla sara'ir, to the fluid that where it begins inside the body. Right, all of these secrets were being talked about. And now here at the end, it is no doubt that they are engaged in making a plan. Now the kaida at the end, which is maf'ul mutlaq. This kaidan at the end, that yakiduna and kaidan, what this implies is, each one of them's got their own plot. Meaning there are various groups, and they're all making their own plans. They're all making their own secret agendas, and they're executing them. Because even they are not united. That's the other thing we should know. All of kufr is not united. Allah says, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You would think they're all together, but their hearts are all over the place. Their hearts are diversified. They're not together. They're even at each other's throats. So Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. But He responds, He doesn't say, إِنِّي أَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. When He responds, He doesn't say, no doubt, certainly, I am also making a plan. He doesn't say, certainly. You know, this, the إِنَّهُمْ, what this does in an Arabic statement, it makes it, of course, jumla ismiya, and it adds tawkeed to it. But what it does also is implies effort. They put a lot of effort in making their plan. But Allah's plan is what? Effortless. No need to emphasize. No need to, you know, respond with that strength, because Allah Azza wa Jal, all He does is kun. And by the way, they've got multiple plans, right? Every group has their own plan. How many plans from Allah? One that takes care of all of them. I have a plan that takes care of all of their plans. One plan of attack that takes care of all the loose ends. We can't do one thing. You know, for every enemy, you have a different strategy. That's how we human beings are. We can't have, you know, one strategy for all sides, all problems. Allah Azza wa Jalla looks at all of these different enemies and says, "Wa akidu kaida." I've got one plan that takes care of all of their plans. Now, this is consolation to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. We should note that the middle of this surah started discussing or depicting the reality of the kuffar. But they were never addressed directly. They were spoken of in the third person. The human being should observe what he was created from. Mimma khuliqa, khuliqa mimma in dafiq. Right? Then again, innahum yakiduna, they plot, not you plot. He doesn't address them directly. Now this does two things in Arabic literature, especially in Quran. Tab'id, Allah distancing himself from the one he is displeased with. When you talk to someone, you're at least addressing them. You're dignifying them by talking to them. Allah does not dignify these kuffar by talking to them. He talks about them. He talks about them. To understand this iltifat, these transitions in the Quran, because the transition is about to come, you have to understand, Allah Azza wa Jal has multiple audiences in the Quran. One of His audiences is His Messenger Himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another audience is the believers. Another audience is the disbelievers. Another audience is everybody in general. So it depends on who Allah is talking to. To help you visualize, a teacher. Right, a teacher is talking to this group of students, then he's talking to that group of students, then he's talking to the teacher's assistant. He's got different audiences. This is the case in the Quran. Now when Allah turns away from the kuffar, doesn't talk to them, but He's talking to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. But who's He talking about? Them.
They can hear it. They can hear that Allah has turned away from them and is talking about them to Him. It's, you know, to give you a picture of this, the psychology of this, if I'm talking to one of my children about the other child, right? What does the other child feel? Ignored, neglected, he's really angry at me. You understand? This turning away from one audience to the other, and especially talk to them about them, why not just talk to me about myself? This is an illustration of anger from Allah. So, innahum yakiduna kayda. Disregard them. They're making a plan. Let them make their plan. I'm making a plan. Wa akidu kayda. Who's he talking to? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that becomes abundantly clear at the end. By the way, this is something really important to note. The surah began with addressing the Messenger. Wa ma adraka. It began with khitab ila Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will give you an idea of what Tariq is? Allah is speaking to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ending is also فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Incredible. Allah says, مَهِّل, تَمْهِيل in Arabic, is to give somebody extra extensions in their deadline. Like somebody owed you money, they came, they said, I can't pay you by Wednesday. You say, okay, take till Thursday, or take till next Wednesday. You gave him تَمْهِيل. You extended their deadline. Allah tells His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Give an extension, then be loose, go easy on the disbelievers. Now, the surah is about them plotting against us. The kuffar plotting against the believers. This is Meccan Qur'an, who's in a position of military power? The Quraysh. So who should be giving who dead extensions? You understand? But Allah says to His Messenger, oh, let it slide. Let it slide. And the tafsir, they comment, look at the wording, subhanAllah. فَلَا تَشْتَغِلْ بِالْإِنْتِقَامِ مِنْهُمْ وَلَا تَدْعُوا عَلَيْهِمْ SubhanAllah. Don't get busy in worrying about avenging against them. And don't make dua against them. The weapon in the Messenger's hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his anger against them. Allah is angry with them. But if His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turns angry at them, that's it. That's it. These are one of the places, few places in Quran, we find the profoundly delicate relationship Allah has with His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah changes the qibla and tells us to please you. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not something small. So here in this state, in these kuffar, in the previous surah, they're oppressing the Muslims. Here they're making plots to destroy, even assassinate the Messenger himself. And Allah says, I've got them covered. In the previous surah, Allah said, وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ. Allah has completely encompassed them from behind them and from in front of them. Don't worry about it. They're completely in Allah's control. They've got nowhere to go. Here He told them, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدَ. I've made a plan against them. I've made a thorough plan to take care of, to undo all of their plots. Then He tells His Messenger, let them slide. Don't make dua against them. Don't even make dua against them. Allah has empowered His Messenger. So the irony of this is the eyes of a believer, right? They're in a position of being oppressed. They are being ridiculed. They are being mocked. Their attempts are being made to kill them. They are being made to leave their homes. And who's still in a position of power? Even then, the Messenger is in a position of power, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the power of dua. One thing we learn here is the power of dua. Allah is telling His Messenger, let them go, let it slide. Then He says it again, amhilhum. Amhil, you know, tamhil is over time. Let them go, let them, meaning they come back, do something wrong, let it go. They come back, let it go. They come back, let it go. That's tamhil. Then Allah re-emphasizes it with badal. Badal is with imhal, from if'al. Amhilhum. And amhilhum, just let it go entirely. Don't worry about it at all. Just let it go. Because if'al has completion in it, and taf'il has process in it. So whenever small incidents occur, just let it slide from them. Don't worry about it. And as a matter of fact, develop an attitude of just letting things slide because I have already made my plot. But then Allah doesn't say do this indefinitely. He adds one more word. أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدَ. Which means أَمْهِلْهُمْ إِمْهَالًا رُوَيْدَ. Give them a time, but just a short little bit more. Give them a little bit more time. Because you know, Allah has already designed the plan for Hijrah. Allah has already designed the plan for Medina. Allah has already designed the plan for Badr and then Uhud and then Ahzab. Allah's that plan's there. You just have to wait a little more. You just have to take it a little bit patient with them and don't make dua against them. And that's really the weapon of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah has illustrated here. So no matter how much we think we're in a position of weakness, Allah Azza wa Jalla lets us know we're always, those who truly believe, are always in a position of power. And the thing that Allah empowers them with, those who are on the mission of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this dua, the dua of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you know, now you appreciate something. the power of the messenger's dua, alayhi salatu wasalam. To put this in perspective, you know, there were those who claimed to follow his the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, but didn't truly follow him. We call them the hypocrites. Now, the messenger of Allah was told, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَسْتَغْفَرْتَ لَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً لَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. It is the same for them, these hypocrites, whether you ask Allah to forgive them or not. Even if you do so 70 times, Allah won't forgive them. Now put this in perspective. Here you have one dua from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and these kuffar will be wiped out. That's it, it's finished. But Allah tells them to hold on. You know, take it slow with them. Give them a little bit more time. And on the other hand, you have that same messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, making dua 70 times, and Allah says no. For who? Against the munafiq. The messenger is asking sallallahu alayhi wasalam, for the munafiq to be forgiven. And in a hadith, he said, I will ask more than 70 times then. Look at the mercy of our messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. But think how deep this problem of nifaq is. You know, Ruwaid, by the way, is an ism tasghir. Okay, it's called ism tasghir. Like Ab becomes Ubaid, Arwad becomes Ruwaid. Just give them a little bit more time. It is like Allah is negotiating with his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. You know, when you say to someone, just a little more, that's the language here. Mahil al-kafirin, amhilhum Ruwaida. And the last thing to comment here is the word fa, in the beginning of the ayah, fa mahil al-kafirin. As a result of their plotting, in response to their disbelief, in response to their efforts against you, you should only know one thing, I've made a plan against them. That should be enough for you to now, should be enough negotiation for you to let it go. Let not anything in your heart be held against them. Subhanallah. فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. The surah, as we said, began with the mention of addressing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the surah concludes with an address to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The surah began with Allah saying that there's a hafiz over everyone. There's a guardian over in kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafiz. The surah concludes that Allah azza wa jal has them in their plan. In the beginning, part of that plan was revealed. There's a hafiz over everyone recording every deed. But even in their worldly affairs, the plan is complete. Their plans are completely overrun by Allah's plan. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who truly understand His word and are able to live up to it. May Allah make us deeply internalize the meanings of إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. This is a decisive word. May Allah lead us to make decisions that are decisive in Allah's obedience in our life and in the lives of our families. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bring the light of the Quran into our homes and enlighten our children and our spouses with them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.